Okay, our next case is number 22-1081, Wynette Labs, LLC versus Motorola Mobility, LLC. Okay, Mr. Worzen.
Good morning, Your Honors. Matt Worzen for Wynette Labs, LLC. I'd like to just touch on the legal framework surrounding this appeal. What Wynette is arguing for is a holding from this court that Judge Leinenweber had subject matter jurisdiction to enter an order dismissing the complaint with prejudice.
Can we just assume that what I think is undisputed is that the order says nothing about prejudice one way or the other, and I think both sides agree it has to be only without prejudice. So are we losing something if we just treat it as without prejudice?
I think the parties agree to that okay. It can be treated without prejudice. Wynette's position in this court, however, is that Judge Leinenweber had jurisdiction to enter an order with prejudice under Rule 12b-6. I would add that, and Wynette has communicated this to Motorola, Wynette has no intention of appealing that ruling, and
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Okay.
What's the point here? I mean, with the order under review, everybody agrees is without prejudice. What's the point you're making?
That this appeal centers on that Judge Leinenweber actually had the subject matter jurisdiction to enter an order with prejudice under Rule 12b-6.
I simply don't understand what you're saying. What he didn't.
He didn't, and this appeal surrounds Wynette's contention that he, in fact, did. Judge Leinenweber rejected two alternative theories supporting, we believe, his Article III subject matter jurisdiction to enter the order with prejudice.
And so, why do you keep talking about with prejudice? It's not with prejudice.
The relief we seek is an order saying that he had the authority to enter the order with prejudice.
You want this order to be with prejudice?
Yes.
Would you want it to be with prejudice?
Because...
Is that the only issue you're raising on appeal now? Have you changed your issues that you're raising on appeal?
No, we're not changing the issue on appeal. We're arguing that the order that Judge Leinenweber did have, and this is what we argued to the district court, that he had Article III standing because Wynette Labs, LLC, owned the patent when it filed the complaint. And that's our position before Judge Leinenweber. It's our position here.
Okay.
It has to do with the power of the court to dispose of the case on the merits.
Okay, so he disposed of the case on the merits, granting a motion to dismiss. And you challenged
Correct.
That motion to dismiss.
Correct.
You contend that you are the patent, that your client is the patent owner.
Yes.
Do you want to focus on that issue?
Yes, please, Your Honor. And so two alternative bases. First of all, the cases that Wynette has marshaled, three cases, a case out of this court from the 1990s, the Kahn case, this court's predecessor court in the 1960s, the Carey case, and then lastly, the United States Supreme Court case from the 1890s, the Sessions case. All of these cases, we believe, all of this precedent holds that in a situation like this one, where the patent owner is dissolved, goes bankrupt, the patent assets, when they go unclaimed and are not disposed of, revert to the original owner.
Okay, but those cases are dealing with particular legal regimes, and we're the United States, that may be the case, but we're dealing with British Virgin Islands law, and there's no argument, is there, that under British Virgin Islands law, when the company is dissolved the way this one was, the assets go to the Crown, right?
Well, we believe that the statutory regime, the BVI dissolution scheme, is analogous in particular to the Sessions case. So what the scheme does is really two things. First, it freezes the assets of the corporation or company that's struck from the rolls.
Are you saying that the district court's interpretation of British Virgin Islands law is wrong? Is that what you're arguing?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
Based on some cases which don't address British Virgin Islands law?
No, based on an interpretation of the BVI statute, which was before the district court. And the district court held that when the patent, quote unquote, vested with the crown, the crown was in fact a creditor of the BVI entity that had dissolved. And it's our contention that that's just not the case. What the scheme does is freezes the assets of the company that's struck from the rolls, and allows creditors to assert claims against the dissolved entity. In this case, all the evidence that Wynette put in establishes, first of all, that the patent was the only asset of the company. Secondly, that the company had no creditors. And so under the scheme, what happens, and this happened in this case in April 2016, is that after a certain period of time, any unclaimed or not disposed of property, quote unquote, vests in the crown.
Okay, go ahead, continue. And then what happens after?
And this is out of the statute. The crown holds the property, not legal title to the property, but is mandated to return the property to the company if it's restored to the rolls.
Where is that? Do you have?
Yes.
Where is the statutory provision for that?
So Appendix 582, Section 220, Paragraph 2, when a company is restored to the register, any property other than money that was vested in the crown under Subsection 1 on the dissolution of the company and that has not been disposed of must be returned to the company.
Okay, but that didn't happen.
Okay, well, but our contention is this, Your Honor, is that the Crown stands in the same position as the bankruptcy trustee in the Sessions case, where the bankruptcy trustee in the Sessions case has this patent asset that it cannot dispose of for the benefit of creditors. And the U.S. Supreme Court held that in that situation, title reverts to the patent owner. And so, analogous here, the Crown has no legal interest in the patent that is vested in the Crown, but rather holds title as a sort of lost and found for the dissolved company. And so...
Has Wynette Labs, Inc. been restored to the rolls?
After a briefing had commenced in this court on this appeal, yes, the BVI entity was restored, obtained the patent, and has since assigned it to the appellant, Wynette.
So you could bring a new suit?
We could, yes.
Because it's not with prejudice.
Exactly. Well, this takes us back to the beginning, and the point I'm trying to make is that when this court first remanded this action on this question of subject matter jurisdiction, with all of these facts in mind, that we could go and get it back, we could continue to litigate this Article III question. Wynette approached Motorola and would have walked away with the with prejudice dismissal. And so that's kind of the posture we're in now, where we're advocating for, on the one hand, just simply walking away from this litigation and these issues. On the other hand, and Motorola has really gone down the avenue where, yes, it has to be a without prejudice dismissal, and my client has the wherewithal to get the patent back and could bring the claim anew in the district court. So that's kind of the the, I think, unique framework that we're working.
I don't really understand why having your case dismissed with prejudice benefits you.
Well, I think it goes to the issue of whether or not Judge Leinenweber had Article III standing when the motion, the 12B6 motion, was filed, and it's our position that he did for the reasons discussed.
And the question is standing at the time the complaint is filed, right?
That's yes, that's standing. Correct.
Okay. And at that time, Wynet BVI was not restored to the register.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And so our principal point would be that in particular sessions, when you read the BVI dissolution scheme, the Crown looks very much like the bankruptcy trustee, and we believe, as well as with these other precedents, that there's enough support that title would revert to the five inventors who then in 2019 assigned the patent to...
I'm sorry, what's the connection between reversion to the inventors and restoration of the asset to the restored company? Those are not the same thing.
They are not, Your Honor. So reversion of the asset to the five inventors would be based on the circumstances of the BVI entity dissolving without any creditors, and the intent in the 2005 covenant, the first assignment, where the five inventors covenant to perform quote-unquote all lawful acts. And so we read that covenant broad enough to capture the intent of accepting that unclaimed property before it vests in the Crown.
So, in your view, who owns this patent now? The restored company or the shareholders of the company?
As a matter of fact, Wynet Labs LLC, my client, the appellant here, owns the patent today through the restoration.
So the patent... So when Wynet BVC was restored to the register, property returned to it. You're saying the patent was returned to it?
Yes.
And then what happened? Were there assignment agreements?
Yes. Yes, there was an assignment
agreement. So, so Wynet Labs, Inc., you say, this, none of this is in the record, has been restored to the rolls under 220 parent 2, you think it now has the patent back. Has Wynet Labs, Inc., the restored company, done an assignment to Wynet Labs, LLC?
Which yes.
It has?
Yes.
That too has occurred?
Yes, 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 yes. And so...
This is not a theory of standing that I remember hearing about before.
No, this all happened, in fact, when briefing was just closing.
Well, it couldn't be standing in this case because this didn't happen before the suit was brought, right?
Right, exactly, yeah, yeah. And, I guess this latest colloquy goes to the practical point, too, that the five inventors and all of the equity shareholders of both the BVI entity and Wynet, the current plaintiff, they're all closely connected, and they all, on this record, display an intent that legal title be held in either the BVI entity or the five inventors or ultimately the plaintiff. Looks like I've run out of time.
We'll give you 1 minute.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Hankins.
Good morning. May it please the court. I am here today with my colleague Lewis Clapp from Riley Safer Homes and Cancilla. I believe we just heard concessions that there was no standing at the time this lawsuit was filed.
Let me ask you this version of the question. It appears to be, and let's assume it's a reality now, that the BVI law's provisions for restoration have occurred. So it was always a possibility that that would occur. Why doesn't that possibility, which existed at the time of this lawsuit's filing, not yet ripened into a reality, but a possibility, why wasn't that enough for standing even then?
Wow. Well, to assert standing, one has to assert a present ownership in a patent.
Why is a constitutional matter present ownership? All you need is an injury in fact. And our opinion last time was careful to say that we were asking a question about injury in fact, and that Wynat's only asserted basis was on the basis of ownership. But
the assignment that was used to file this lawsuit, the 2019 assignment, was made by five inventors to a Wyoming company called LLC.
I understand this is, I think, actually a completely different theory of standing, which has not been urged before. And there's fairly recent Supreme Court precedent that says theories of standing can, in fact, be forfeited by not. That's the Texas against United States case, the third Affordable Care Act case. So this may well have been forfeited. But just on the merits, I want to understand. Why couldn't Wynat LLC have said, at the time we filed this lawsuit, there was a path for us, the company, Wynat LLC, to get this back. And that's a plausible path, and therefore we have injury in fact for Article III. Is there some other jurisdictional problem?
First of all, that theory is the first time I've ever heard it, so forfeiture is probably the first answer I would have to it. My second answer is, why wouldn't everybody have a path to ownership of a patent if that was a path to ownership of a patent for standing purposes under Article III? At the time this lawsuit was filed...
There's nothing particularly speculative about this, right? It's right in the BVI law.
It's completely speculative. What you just heard was completely speculative. What had occurred at the time this lawsuit was filed was that the property that was at issue in this lawsuit, the 374 patent, was owned by the Crown. Period and stop. That's the way the BVI law works.
But there's a pathway, one that is not too hard to understand, and one that seems that Wynat BVI could have pursued, where they could be restore their company to the register. And then they get the patent, and then all they have to do is then assign it. So it does seem like a plausible... I agree with your forfeiture argument, but it does seem like a plausible basis for them to become patent owners. It's not like I sue somebody for patent infringement and I don't own the patent and I just have to go to somebody and beg them to sell the patent to me. That's not possible. But, so your suggestion that anybody could bring a patent suit doesn't seem to fit. But here, why isn't it plausible?
Because under BVI law, what needed to occur was someone would come to the government and say, we want this back. And the evidence that was submitted to the court was that that right had been abandoned. That's what the district court found.
When you say, I want this back, what is this?
Any property that was given to the Crown as a result of the dissolution.
Page A582 of the appendix that says, when a company is restored to the register, any property that was vested in the Crown on dissolution of the company that has not been disposed of must be returned to the company.
I don't argue with that legal path of reacquiring the patent.
You're reading in that they had to go to the Crown and beg for it back and all of that. I don't see where you're getting that.
Well, no,
all they had to do was get their company restored to the register.
Who is they?
Wynat?
No, this would be LTD. The BVI company was called.
I keep saying it.
Right. So the BVI company goes to the Crown and pays. One of the declarants talks about all of the back payments that would need to be paid to do this, and then according to the statute, gets the property back, we still have a different entity than the one that sued Motorola in this case.
Are the shareholders the same of the two entities?
I think so.
There's an assertion in the briefs that they are.
Yes. Okay. Here's where there's a lot of...
Does it make a difference under the BVI law, when you looked at it, that the BVI entity not just deregistered, but was liquidated? Isn't there an additional step where a company has been dissolved? You actually have to go to a court to get...
Yes.
Okay, and that, I don't think we even heard about
that. I'm not sure that's occurred. Certainly it's not in the record that anything like that's occurred. During the time that it's struck from the record, it can do nothing. It can make no legal actions.
This happened in stages, right? I mean, it was struck from the rolls or something in 2016, and then after, or at some period, and then after a 7-year waiting period or something?
Didn't pay its fees for 7 years, struck, dissolved a year after that.
And there are different provisions for dissolved companies and non-dissolved but struck companies.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. So at that point, we still don't have any property ownership in the assignors of the 2019 assignment to the plaintiff here.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of standing cases that say a remote interest or a remote possibility isn't sufficient for standing.
These are the inventors. They're not the owners of the company. They have conveyed their right in 2005. They've conveyed all ownership rights to the Wynette BVI company. All rights. Nothing in that assignment, in that 2005 assignment, which this court reviewed the first time we were here.
We're talking about something different. We're talking about the possibility of getting the patent back and assigning it to the plaintiff here is sufficiently certain or so remote that it's insufficient to create standing.
The point here is that the assignment that led to this action being filed was filed by a company that didn't have any ownership interest at all.
Right, but we're talking about the possibility that they could acquire it as giving them standing.
The possibility that is only discussed now after standing has been found not to exist. That cannot be the way standing can be created, Your Honor. That I can go back and acquire the patent that I have been determined to not own in order to be able to proceed with a lawsuit. The reversionary interest that's been alleged and argued here doesn't exist. The claims for reformation aren't based on any applicable law that we could find or facts.
Do you have a particular view about what law, what jurisdiction's law should apply to the question of reformation?
No.
Okay.
I know no effort has been made to establish what that law is from the entity that has the burden of proof on this issue, which is the plaintiff. Illinois law was what was briefed, but I see no connection between Illinois law and this contract for a BVI entity.
I think you also argue, in any event, Illinois law on reformation follows the restatement, which regards mutual mistake, and the judge found as a fact there was no mutual mistake, just now a retrospective wish.
Correct. Even if Illinois law applies, they lose. So the last two issues that are before the court are the form of the dismissal, which I think everyone is in agreement is without prejudice, and the finding of exceptional case, which this court has held repeatedly, is not an appealable order, and that part of the appeal should be dismissed.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes, Your Honor, I'll submit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Warzan, you've got a minute.
Unless the court has questions, I have nothing further.
Okay, thank you. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted.
Thank you.